As we continue our Old Testament series in the book of Proverbs, I ask you to please turn with me in your Bibles this evening to Proverbs 14 and verse 1. Proverbs 14 and verse 1, as we come to consider the matter of God's word to women. Proverbs 14 and verse 1. Solomon writes the following words. Proverbs 14 and verse 1, he says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." Would you please pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for your perfect word. We thank you, O God, for the truth that it contains. We bless you, O God, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Lord, we thank you for the sacred word. We thank you that, as Jesus said, your word is truth. And so now, O God, we ask you this evening to sanctify this word to us. Help us, Lord. Be our portion, be our aid, be our strength. Rend the heavens and speak to us from Holy Scripture. We call upon you for all of these things. We ask them only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In his very helpful book, which I highly recommend, entitled 12 Extraordinary Women, best-selling author John MacArthur writes the following words. He says, "One of the unique features of the Bible is the way it exalts women. Far from ever demeaning or belittling women, Scripture often seems to go out of the way to pay homage to them, to ennoble their roles in society and in the family, to acknowledge the importance of their influence, and to exalt the virtues of women who were particularly godly examples." MacArthur says, quote, "that from the very first chapter of the Bible, we are taught that women, like men, bear the stamp of God's own image, and wives are seen as venerated partners and cherished companions to their husbands, not merely slaves or pieces of household furniture." Well, it is this matter then of women and wives in connection to their husbands and homes that we come to consider this evening. Tonight we come to a very important passage in the Bible that proclaims to us the power of a woman to either build up her home or to tear it down with her own hands. Now, as most of you are probably aware, this is the first proverb that I preached in this series that speaks specifically to women. This week, as I was praying about what I would preach on for tonight, it was this passage that caught my heart and mind, and I believe that the truth of this text is very significant for all of us to grasp. This verse here in Proverbs 14 and verse 1 is vital for each of us as Christians, as it speaks to all of us wherever we are at in life, whether we are women or men, married or not married, whether we have children or do not have children. Now, we have here in our passage, by way of general context in the book of Proverbs, the wise and the foolish being contrasted. This contrast is one that is made throughout this book, and it constitutes one of the most important teachings in the book of Proverbs. And so here, if we had to summarize this verse in this regard, we can say that it teaches that a wise woman is a great blessing to her family. However, a foolish one is a curse to it. Well, as we come then to consider these matters in some detail and to be instructed in them for our own good, I ask you to note with me first for this evening in 1A, the wise house builder. The wise house builder. Notice the words again in your Bible. Solomon writes, "The wise woman builds her house. Now, it's interesting to consider in connection to our passage for this evening that in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, wisdom is personified as a woman and is pictured as being very industrious in her home. There in that passage, the words read as follows. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. Now we see here in this illustration that I just read from that text that Lady Wisdom had a very clear focus in her life, and it was her family. We see here that the primary sphere of her labor and where she invested most of her time was in her home. You see, far from being a foolish woman who's described, for example, in Proverbs 7 and verse 11 as one whose feet would not stay at home, this woman very much gave the better part of her time, energy, and love to those who were under her roof. Now, of course, this does not mean that she never left her home, right? This does not mean that she stayed inside all day cleaning, then re-cleaning, and then cleaning again what she already cleaned. This is not what she did at all. Rather, it means, to quote one writer, that her heart was rooted in her home and that she put her family's needs above all other interests and pursuits. That's what it means. You see, dear brothers and sisters, this wise, godly, and saved individual through Jesus Christ our Lord did not embrace the worldly mentality of the day, which tells women that their real worth is to be found in the workplace. This wise, godly, saved individual through Christ Jesus our Lord did not embrace the godless, feministic mindset which encourages women to get out of the home and to find greater meaning elsewhere. No. Clearly, this wise woman was very content in her God-given calling in life. She was very satisfied in the primary place where God called her to work under the leadership of her husband. Now, specifically, in our passage before us now, when we're told that this wise woman builds her house, this does not mean, of course, that she did this with a hammer and nail in hand. It does not mean that she laid the bricks and built the roof over her head. No, rather, it means that she invested herself in the lives of her loved ones in her household, helping them to be all that God would have them to be. When we read here that the wise woman builds her house, the Hebrew text literally says that she establishes her home, or she provides stability to it. The point is, this woman, with the help and grace of God, creates an atmosphere in her home that supports and strengthens her family in all ways. This wise, godly saint regularly contributes to the good of all that God has committed to her care. Now, we might wonder how this woman does this. We might wonder in what ways she establishes or builds her household. Well, let me just list several things for you. And the first is, she does this spiritually. She does this spiritually. Now, of course, this is the foundation of everything else that I will say about her this evening. And this presupposes that this woman has been converted by the free grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What I'm saying now about her presupposes that she's a child of God, having a real, living, and vital relationship with Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. Now, dear ones, I say that this must be true about this woman, because no unsaved woman could ever establish her home in the way that God intends. Though, since the Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity with God, an unsaved woman could never glorify God in her home and help those in it on their way to heaven as she's called to by her example, her admonitions, her reproofs, and her prayers. You see, friends, although her home might be neat and orderly, And although she might be a great cook and clean everything perfectly, nonetheless, her home will never be blessed of God, because we read in Proverbs 3 and verse 33 that the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Secondly, then, a wise woman builds her house parentally. She builds her house parentally. Now, of course, I'm speaking here about the fact, if she has children, that she will cooperate with her husband in raising them. This woman understands that her children are a stewardship given to her from God, and therefore she does not shrink back in her responsibility to raise them to God's glory and honor. No, this godly woman, this wise woman, seeks to raise and to train her children in the ways of God. She seeks to help them to be well-rounded, be that socially, educationally, intellectually, morally, and most important, spiritually, as wise and godly Lois and Eunice did concerning Timothy, as we read in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. While in fact, the husband is to be the primary teacher of the children in the home, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Nonetheless, the Bible also says in Proverbs 1 and verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Thirdly, a wise woman builds her house domestically. She builds her house domestically, and by this I mean she is competent in the home. My point is, dear friends, this woman knows how to cook and clean. She knows how to do the laundry and iron clothes. She is smart and works well with her hands. And according to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14, she manages her household. And according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, she is a homemaker, literally one who is busy in the home. While biblically speaking, she is not forbidden from ever working outside of the home, especially if she doesn't have children. And surely she could work in the home, having a paying job, etc. Nonetheless, in all that she does, she is very careful to balance any additional labors or activities so that her home and family are prioritized appropriately. The point is, the home is the wise woman's special dominion and primary sphere of labor, and always has her highest priority. Whereas at one point in her life, prior to conversion, making it big in the world was her great aim. However, now that she is saved, she wants to fulfill her role in the home, since God calls her to be a godly wife, a godly mother, and a servant of Jesus Christ the Lord. Fourthly, a wise and godly woman builds her house personally. She builds it personally, and by this I mean in her disposition. She exudes a Christ-like character in all that she does. And dear friends, this wise woman, this godly saint, builds her home not by being a crank, not by being a continual nag, like a continual dripping on a very rainy day, Proverbs 27 and verse 15. No, rather, she builds her home by bearing the fruits of the Spirit, which are mentioned in Galatians 5 and verse 22. This woman builds her home by having and maintaining a good and godly attitude, even during her hardest week in the month, always having the law of kindness upon her tongue, Proverbs 31 and verse 26. Now, dear friends, this wise woman of our passage builds her house by being long-suffering, forgiving, and forbearing to all who are in her house, as she's called to be in Ephesians 4 and verse 2. And she builds her house by keeping herself beautiful, especially in the inner person, as she's called to in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 to 5. In addition, under this heading, this wise woman builds her home by being trustworthy and dependable. Proverbs 31, verses 11 and 12. And then lastly, she builds her home by being compassionate, caring, and by having keen foresight and providing for the future welfare of her household. Proverbs 31 and verse 15, Proverbs 31 and verse 21. Well, fifthly, lastly, not only does the wise woman build her house spiritually, parentally, domestically, and personally, but she also does this submissively, and here I'm referring to her relationship with her husband. Now, brethren, this particular point is absolutely crucial for every woman to get in this place, because an unsubmissive wife is a huge detriment to any household. A huge detriment to any household. If a woman will not live under her husband's godly leadership, which if he's a member of this church, I trust he has, the household will always be in terrible shape. Dear ones, it does not matter if everything else is correct. If the woman is her own boss in the home, it will always be a mess, because this goes against God's prescribed order. So what then does it mean for a wife to be submissive to her husband, as the Bible calls her to be in Ephesians 5, verse 22, and Colossians 3, and verse 18? Well, let me speak about this matter briefly, negatively, and then I'll speak about it positively. So firstly, negatively, a wife's submission to her husband does not mean that she becomes his slave. It does not mean that she becomes a doormat, or one who never opens her mouth, or one who never expresses her opinion. No, friends, it doesn't mean any of these things at all. Also, in this regard, neither does it mean, as Dr. Wayne Max says in his excellent book entitled Strengthening Your Marriage, that the wife becomes a wallflower who folds up and allows her abilities to lie dormant. Well, again, friends, it doesn't mean any of these things at all. And if we think that it does, we really need to get our thinking straight, biblically speaking. This is not at all what biblical submission is about, and therefore such ideas are completely twisted and distorted. So having said what it does not mean, what does it mean? Well, positively speaking, it means that in all things, listen, in all things except for sin, the wife is to put herself under her husband's leadership and direction, supporting him in his plans and purposes. She is to put herself under his leadership in all things except for sin, supporting his plans and purposes. To be submissive to one's husband means that in her attitude and actions, the wife chooses to respectfully obey her husband's decisions, and she does this as unto the Lord. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Well, dear ones, this is what biblical submission is all about. And with the other four things that I mentioned, these are ways that the wise woman builds her home. Since she fears the Lord spiritually, parentally, domestically, personally, and submissively, she wants to obey the Lord Christ in all things. Since she fears the Lord, which in fact makes her a wise person, because it is the wise person who fears the Lord, she wants to excel in all these areas of life. Well, I pause then to ask, what will be the result in the life of the wise woman who, by the help and grace of God, lives like this? What will come to her? Well, besides the fact that according to Proverbs 31 and verse 28, her children will rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also will give her praise. Most importantly, in the final day, she will also hear those wonderful words from the Lord Jesus Christ, where he will say to her, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well done, good and faithful servant, Matthew 25 and verse 21. Well, dear godly and wise women in this place, take comfort in these words. Dear wise wives and mothers, take joy in this fact. I say, dear sisters, continue to build your houses well for the glory of God and the good of others. And in the final day, you will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. I say, dear sisters, continue to bring happiness, fulfillment, harmony, and order to your households, and you will be blessed indeed. Well, in stark contrast to all that we just considered concerning the wise house builder in 1a, come with me secondly for this evening to consider the foolish woman in 1b under the heading of the wicked house destroyer. The wicked house destroyer. Note the contrast again in your Bible. Solomon says, the wise woman, she builds her house. But, or however, the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Now, to be called foolish in the Bible is a very bad thing. This term speaks about one who lacks discretion or sense. To be a fool, according to Scripture, is to be one who doesn't know God and to be under His judgment. And therefore, it is a very undesirable condition. Well, instead of being one who builds her household, we're told now that this foolish woman pulls it down. And this Hebrew verb for pull down literally means to overthrow or destroy. To overthrow or destroy. This verb is the same one that is used in Proverbs 11 and verse 11, where we're told that by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown, that's our word, by the mouth of the wicked. And it's the same verb that is used in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 10, when Elijah told God that the Israelites had sinfully torn down the Lord's altars. Well, according to Solomon here, this is what the foolish one does continually concerning her household. According to him, she is one that habitually destroys her family, and this with her own hands, which means that she is thoroughly responsible for her evil actions. Now, we might wonder how this woman actually does this. How does she go about overthrowing what God calls her to build up? Well, let me list for you 10 potential ways that she does this so that all of us will be instructed about this matter. So first, she does this by being stubborn, headstrong, and opinionated. She does it by being stubborn, headstrong, and opinionated. You see, far from being a wife who is submissive to her husband as she's called to be, and far from being of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord, 1 Peter 3, this woman is unruly. This woman is proud and full of self and does whatever she wants. She answers to no one. She is clamorous, knowing nothing, as we read in Proverbs 9 and verse 13. Secondly, a foolish woman pulls down her house by not being content with her station in life. She pulls it down by not being content with her station in life. This woman is not happy with the calling that God has given to her. That calling which says in Proverbs 31 and verse 27, to be the one who watches after the ways of her household. No, rather, this foolish woman would rather be doing something else with her time. And this is because she is not truly regenerate in heart. Thirdly, a foolish woman pulls down her house by not being solely committed to her husband, being seductive in her ways. My point is, this woman is adulterate at heart. She has an adulterous heart. And so according to Proverbs 7, verse 6 and following, she is aggressive in her relationships with other men, seducing them with enticing speech. Fourth, a foolish woman pulls down her house by shaming and degrading her husband, especially in front of others, be that inside or outside of the home, when God calls her, in Ephesians 5 and verse 33, to respect her husband. Fifth, a foolish woman pulls down her house by living lavishly, that is to say, by not being frugal. You see, the foolish woman spends and keeps spending money, not being wise like the ant that gathers her food in harvest. This woman is wasteful and self-indulgent. And so instead of being a crown to her husband's head, she is like rottenness in his bones, Proverbs 12, 4a, Proverbs 12, 4b, 6. The foolish woman pulls down her house with her own hands by neglecting her duties. That is to say, she is a lazy person. Oh, all the day long she's on the computer while the dishes continue to pile up. All the day long she's texting her friends and on the internet, etc. And yet the physical and spiritual needs of her husband and children go unmet. 7. A foolish woman pulls down her house by having a disposition and attitude that is very godless. Oh yes, when she is in front of people, she acts like a saint. However, behind closed doors, she's full of bitterness and murmuring. This woman does not have the fruit of the Spirit coming forth from her, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, goodness, etc. No, she seldom has speech that is seasoned with salt, as Paul commands us in Colossians 4 and verse 6, 8. A foolish woman pulls down her house by not building her husband up in being a true helpmate to him. She pulls down her household by not building her husband up. Oh yes, she may not be cheating on him. However, she's not giving him the type of moral and spiritual support that he needs as one who is called to be his helper. Genesis 2 and verse 18, 9. A foolish woman pulls down her own house by being a gossip and by spreading rumors among others. This woman has no self-control. No self-control, especially when it comes to her mouth. And so she's constantly saying things that she ought not to say, causing division among people. Well, tenthly and finally, a foolish woman pulls down her house by constantly being contentious, never giving any peace to anyone in the home. What do we read in Proverbs 21 and verse 19? Well, there the writer says that it is, quote, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And so it is. I love the Proverbs, how pithy they could be, how earthy they could be. Better to dwell in the wilderness. Or as another proverb says, better to dwell on one side of the home, far away from a woman, than to be with a contentious and angry woman. Better to be all alone. Better to be isolated than to be with a woman who is of a nasty spirit. Well, dear friends, here are 10 ways that a foolish woman pulls down her household, and I'm sure that there are many other ways that she could do this. In contrast to the godly woman who seeks to do well to her family all of her days, this evil woman is completely opposite. The foolish woman is destructive and lacks the grace of Christ. She is one who has not been born again, and therefore she is unhelpful not only to herself, but to all who are under her care. Well, having seen then this matter of God's word to women concerning their homes from our passage this evening, I want to end by making several applications to a few different groups of people. And I'll begin by speaking first to any woman here tonight who, although saved, you might feel like you have blown it in your home. What can I say to you, my dear sister, dear child of God? What can I say to you, but dear one, take heart this evening, knowing that Jesus Christ is not through with you. Take heart. Dear sister, and know that Jesus Christ the Lord gives fresh mercy and grace each and every day. Know, sister, that with Christ there are always new beginnings. Each and every day His mercies are new, and so if you've fallen short in the area of domestic piety, I call you this evening to call out to Jesus for fresh help and grace. Dear ladies, I say that since Jesus Christ put such a high premium on having and maintaining a good and godly household, ask Him to help you to be the wife and mother you should be, and He will most readily help you by His grace and with His word. You know, we read in Proverbs 24 and verse 3. That would be a good passage to write down. Proverbs 24 and verse 3 says that through wisdom a house is built. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And so again, along with going to Christ, asking Him to forgive you for past failures, asking Him to help you presently with all that you must do, begin this evening to comb through the Scriptures to learn what you can do to build a good and godly home. Through wisdom, a house is built, and we get wisdom from the Word of God. Dear sisters, God's Word is sufficient for this matter, for indeed, His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Secondly, let me speak to any woman here this evening who is not a Christian, Perhaps you know very keenly that you fit the description of the foolish one, the foolish woman in our passage who pulls down her house. Perhaps you've been in the past like a wrecking crew that has demolished your own family because of your sin. What can I say to you, my dear friend? Well, I call you this evening to repent and to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins based upon His work on the cross as the sinner's substitute, and ask Him to make you the type of woman that He would have you to be. My dear unsaved friend, since Jesus loves to save sinners, and then having saved them, He loves to transform them and to make them into the type of people that He would have them to be, I say, go to this Christ and ask Him to cleanse you of your sin. Your sin of failing in the household, the sin of failing your family, and all your other sins. Go to Christ, owning your sins, and say, "Oh, blessed Savior, You came into the world sinners to save. I am a miserable wretch. I have failed You on many levels. Cleanse me based upon Your work as the substitute of sinners." Call upon His name. Trust in Him who gave His life, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, and then pray, "Oh, Christ, help me to be the wife that You would have me to be. Help me to be the mom. Help me to be the mother who does all that Your word says in this regard, so that I will be, from this point forward, a wise woman who builds up her house." Say, "Lord, I'm done tearing down my own family with my own hands. It's evil, Lord. It's disgusting in Your sight. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity." Thirdly, let me speak to any husbands here in this place. My dear brothers, let me say to you that since our wives have a huge responsibility before the Lord regarding their domestic labors, let us regularly be in prayer for them. Let us pray for them, and let us encourage them, and let us seek to help them in any way that we can. Men, our wives need our help. They don't want to be foolish women. They want to be good and godly women. They want to build up their households well for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Let's pray for them. Let's help them. Let's encourage them in this most important calling. Fourthly, single ladies in this place this evening, there's a few. I call you, my dear sisters, to seriously take heed. Take heed to what we've considered this evening and begin to pray now that the Lord will make you a wise woman. Begin to pray now. Begin to pray today that the Lord will work these truths in your own life. Pray and meditate upon our passage. And join yourself to other godly women who already are wise by the grace of God, so that you can learn from them, knowing that according to Proverbs 13 and verse 20, he who walks with wise people will be wise also. Well, fifthly then, and finally, I want to speak to any single men in this place. There's a few. My dear brothers, remember with me that the book of Proverbs was largely given in order to instruct young men. You recall, we considered that some months ago in chapter 1 of this book. The book of Proverbs was written to warn you, young men, about making bad choices in life. And I believe that in large part, this is exactly why this particular proverb was written. Now, dear brothers, this verse was given so as to help you from making the worst decision you will ever make in your life. And therefore, let me urge you this evening to be very careful and slow concerning the choice of your mate. Be very careful and slow concerning the choice of your mate. Dear friend, I say that having a good wife is no light matter, for she will either make you or break you. And therefore, make your choice carefully and with much counsel. It's a saying I got from a brother at Trinity Baptist Church some years ago. He said to me, "Rob, if you marry in haste," that is to say quickly, without thinking about all that the Bible says about that woman, "if you marry in haste, you will repent in leisure. You will have the rest of your life to repent over the bad mistake that you made years back. Marry in haste, repent in leisure." And I would spare some of you single men this evening from the heartache of marrying a foolish woman. She will destroy you, and your life will be miserable. You heard it from me. Think carefully. Think prayerfully. Get counsel. For he that makes haste with his feet errs. We want to have good marriages in this place. We want everyone to be blessed, to have a wonderful marriage that represents Christ's love for his church. We want husbands and wives to walk hand in hand in this grace of life. Consider our text well. And may God help you, my dear brothers, dear single men, to make a good and godly choice. Let's commit our time to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is truth. And that in this very vivid contrast that we have considered this evening, Lord, we confess we have much to repent over. But we also have much to give you thanks for. Lord, for many of us in this place, we can say, "Bless the name of the Lord for the good and godly wives you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for sparing us, in giving us unregenerate, wicked Jezebels. Thank you, Lord, for sparing us and giving us women who indeed are crowns to our head and a blessing to our souls. But Lord, for others, we pray that you'll help them. The single men, help them in the days ahead to make good and godly decisions. The single women also, that they would make good and godly decisions. And that you would prepare them, Lord, to have a wonderful marriage in the days ahead. Oh God, give grace, give light, give instruction. Help us, we pray. We commit the topic into your hands. And we pray it all through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.